Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. Some of the many services we offer include nursing and social work services. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
And welcome back to Project Independence, and you here at WCWP.org, 88.1 FM on your radio. We've been speaking with Kathleen Ott, who is a regional administrator for Region 2, Administration for Community Living. So we're learning a lot about all the services and programs and the shifts that happened during the pandemic. But what's on everyone's mind, and I know we don't have a looking glass, we can't see the future, but it's like a two-part question. I'm curious to know what programming you foresee continuing. Are you also going to be, maybe a part three question, are you going to do some kind of hybrid? So things that once occurred in person and now you're going to continue with the hybrid, maybe on Zoom and in person. I don't want to ask you, are you looking in the looking glass, but we with the return, potentially any day to, what we can foresee. I mean, I would never say maskless, but every day we're getting more and more restrictions lifted that seem to happen so suddenly. It almost puts you in a panic mode as a senior provider of services, because we went from thinking, okay, you know what, we're never going to get any of our summer programming done because we're not going to be in person, so let's continue with our technology. And then all of a sudden, things are opening. Within a week, everything was opening. More people can be in a place at one time. Social distancing and mask wearing becomes a recommendation except for public travel and healthcare. So did that put you all, I want to say, in a panic mode, but okay, it's here, before we really were able to implement, the return? So there's a lot of kind of questions there, but it's, really coming back to what you foresee after pandemic, or, they're kind of coming back from the pandemic.
Well, yes, you're right, because what we can't lose sight of is what we've learned from this. What is the value? Well, there's so many things we could point to. Again, social isolation. We knew it was a challenge and a problem before the pandemic, but it was exacerbated, like I made mention of. Depression, substance abuse, and also suicide rates, all of them skyrocketed. We need to be able to get back to that new normal where we recognize that we have to take care of ourselves. I had, when I was a state director for the state of New Hampshire, and one of my favorite ladies that was an older adult there, she said, everybody needs to recognize we're all seniors in training. And I always refer to that because it's so true. And that means exercising. It means staying socially engaged. It means giving back to the community. And that's one of those lessons learned. We've got to get back to that now that we can. And I would really be remiss if I didn't say we really need to encourage all of our older adults to get the vaccination if they feel comfortable with it. It will open your world back up to that new normal a little faster. Senior centers throughout the nation are beginning to open up, and it's a new day there. They have new policies and guidelines and so forth, but we can acclimate because we know it's the right thing to do. I think that the new normal for us will be a greater appreciation for the human services, helping people get meals and groceries and supports in the home, and visiting people in nursing facilities because they're lonely. We're going to go back to some of those basic human service needs that quite this country used to do before we had an aging network. Before we had home delivered meals, we had a neighbor that was checking on Mrs. Smith. I think we're going to be going back to some of that. And I hope that we can retain the opportunity to continue that because it's so vital. I would also say that livable communities is so important. Recognizing the value of community, what's offered in your community, taking advantage of what's offered in your community. And if it's not there, creating that environment, the evidence-based programming to help people stay engaged. It's those opportunities that we cannot let pass without really recognizing it. So I'll bundle it up by saying, I think human services came to the rescue this time around. Usually it's a health response, but human services were the real heroes here. And I think we just need to continue to say, Aging Network, you're doing a great job. We're going to continue to support you, and we want to help us raise our own bar. And I think we can do it.
I agree. My belief, and I'm going looking back in life, is that as a society, we got fairly soft and comfortable and not appreciate things that were taken for granted, like you described. People who stock shelves, people who move the carts out of the way in the parking lot, whatever. And I believe some parts of our society look down on those types of things. And I believe that sometimes out of adversity comes strength. And I think in the long haul, we will all be better off. Somebody will toughen up a little bit. And I think we could stand that at one point. And this has put us through it, whether we like the idea or not.
You know, it seems like the hardest senior population to reach are your homebound seniors, you know, frail, elderly, living at home, maybe no family around, or by choice, you know, they're homebound, they don't leave. So actually, you know, what happened during the pandemic was everybody essentially became homebound. So I think it's, you know, we learned a lot about what a daily life of somebody who were, it's so hard to, you know, find homebound seniors because, you know, even neighbors aren't engaging with them because they feel like, you know what, you know, Mrs. Smith just doesn't want to be bothered and, you know, that whole kind of a thing. So by having all of our seniors, you know, essentially homebound for a year, maybe longer, you know, hopefully we learned more about, you know, that lifestyle because it is a lifestyle. I mean, people who are homebound and have been for years have to have their services in place or people shopping for them or that kind of a thing. So, you know, maybe there, you know, that would be, you know, kind of an interesting aspect to look at what we did learn about people who are homebound and, you know, maybe that would help us, you know, access those people or I don't know, do, you know, some kind of study, something.
You know, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead on it.
Well, we just went through a real life experience in my own home. My wife had three muscle tears in her shoulder. And two in the other. One was a rotator cuff, and she had pain, and it went on for, I'd say, several months. And what we learned was, first of all, if you can't raise your arms and you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't get dressed, you can't feed yourself, there's a lot of things you can't do. And we must have said 1,000 times, what do people do who have nobody that are in situations like that? We happen to have the good fortune of three daughters who live nearby, and a daughter is a daughter, and a son is a son. You know, but we have three daughters and a granddaughter who's the social worker with Meals on Wheels, all who live nearby. So we were not lacking for support. But it made us think again about how many people do not have that luxury. They don't have anybody near them. And this was not like life-threatening. It was life-altering for a while. And then finally, a cortisone shot has helped, you know, take the pain out of it. But, you know, when you get it, like you have both parts here, the disabled and the senior part of it, no matter how old you are, if you get into a category where you can't function for yourself, you need help. And how do you get it if you're all alone?
Yeah. You know, Otto, that's a perfect example, and I'll be somewhat brief, but I think you just described what I think is really important and a great takeaway. Resilience, you know, finding that resilience within each individual to take responsibility for themselves when they can, and to recognize what they can do, what they can do for others, and what they can do for themselves. The second piece of that is to say, I need help. I need a little bit of help. I don't know where to go. So you call your county agency on aging, area agency on aging, but you ask for help and it's out there. You just have to be able to say, I need help. And then the third thing is, it teaches us a lesson for preparedness, that we want to make sure to be valuable older adults and want to remain independent, that we prepare for what we think we can prepare for, such as those grab and go bags. You know, if there's a disaster, you have water, you have 3 days worth of food, you have those things to take care of yourself. So the resiliency, that ability to ask for help when you need it, and then also that preparedness feature are exactly what I think our older adults need to do. And I would say, Otto, you're very blessed to have as part of your preparedness package, your three daughters, because I know that they've really come to the rescue, I'm sure, as they would in any family. It's really important.
True. No doubt about that. It pays to have a good relationship with your family.
Absolutely.
That's another lesson to be learned.
That's number four.
Yes. Right. It really is. I mean, Otto does have a very supportive family, and you know, it's wonderful to hear about it, but it does make you, you know, wonder, you know, about people who don't have that. And you know, it's so complicated, you know, aging in itself, becoming frail, and maybe being alone, being widowed. But having this kind of network in your toolbox, and understanding, also more importantly, is how to access it. Because there are some incredible services on Long Island. With Project Independence, I always tout this, we have the 311 call center.
Yes.
If you're a town resident, you call 311 and you are connected to any department in the town, whether you have, there's a pothole you're reporting, or you're looking for transportation, or you want to speak with a Project Independence social worker, community nurse, you know, that 311 is that one call. And then that call goes to our department. So everything that Project Independence does, it just comes to our department, and we then send it out to the appropriate region, because we too broke the town up into regions. And that particular person, if they're in New Hyde Park, are assigned, the social worker in New Hyde Park will call them back. So all these terrific programs on Long Island, and there's so many, they're all in like silos to access, which makes it hard for seniors. So, you know, I wish there was like one senior phone number you could call in like New York State and say, what's in my town, or what can I do, or what's the best service? Is there?
There is. And that's New York Connects. If you're familiar with aging, yep, what are called aging and disability resource centers, every state has a system. New York has New York Connects. I wish I had the 800 phone number, but they will connect you to local resources in your community. There's also on ACL's website, the Elder Care Locator, which does the exact same thing. It connects people to their local resources. And so those are two important opportunities for people to find out and see what's local. I would also underscore something you made mention of, Rebecca, and that's the value of family. They're the trusted resources that can support an older adult locate those resources.
When we come back from a break, we'll talk about that, because I bet you that Christina has that 800 Connect number ready to go. So we'll be back after a quick break.